This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
It is Long Shots for the final time of 2025. Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin coming to you. The last tournament of the season. It is November the 18th as we record this, and it's gotten cold. It's raining here in Vegas. It's time. Golf should be done. Kelly, golf, we gotta put a pause on golf until the new year.
Time for a break. Yep. For a break for the golf bettors out there. It's it's raining. It's getting cold. We'll pick it up again in January when I go to warm Hawaii, where Long Shots will be on location, I'm sure.
Yes. If you would like to sponsor that that trip, get in touch with Wes Reynolds, and we'll get you all set up as you'd like to.
Hey, Tim Murray figured it out somehow. Yeah. If anybody in Hawaii would like to sponsor Long Shots, we will come out and see you. We would love that.
We will definitely we'll definitely do that. But Wes, you know, look, it was a good year, it was a good season. We were profitable again this year. For me, not as much as the past 3 years. Though I will never have another season like 3 years ago. The God season will never be topped. So it's like I can only go down. I'll never get anywhere close to where I was 3 years ago. But, you know, whatever. You know, if you can do this all year long, you can make a little bit of money and enjoy golf and have some sweats and all that. It's fun. And, you know, I'm very curious. We were talking a little bit before we got on here about just kind of where the future goes with all of this. Are there going to be some changes on drastic changes on tour? What are they going to do with all these other tours and stuff like that? So, you know, I think there's still some good days for us ahead.
Yeah, the first change, of course, is we only have one Hawaii event to start 2026 because the Century got canceled because of the course issues there at Kapalua with, of course, the wildfires and everything that happened out in Maui. So just the Sony Open at Wailea in Honolulu. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see because the more that time goes, the more it seems like, man, I don't know if they're ever going to get like everything back together. You know, where they're going to have, you know, it's going to be predominantly the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour. And, you know, Live is still Live. It's still a thing. But we will see where the future is going to take this. But the future is now for some of these guys this week, because it's the last event of the year. It is still an important event because you got guys trying to get in that 51 to 60 that want to get in the signature events, the first two of next year, Genesis and Pebble Beach. And then you've got guys that got to get in the top 100 to get their full PGA Tour cards. Because if you're not, the next 25 get conditional status. And then guys, golf might be done for us from a betting standpoint with the RSM Classic, but it's not done for some of these guys because then they got to go to Q school.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we round things out here as we head over to Sea Island Resort in St. Simons Island, Georgia, the RSM Classic. And Wes, we get the little two-course thing here because, as we know, there's no daylight left anymore. So they can't finish getting 156 dudes through one course. So it is two courses on the first 2 days, the Seaside and the Plantation, and then they'll cut it down 65 and ties for the final two rounds there on the Seaside course. Wes, we don't have any data for the Plantation course. So as you did your write-up, I'm sure you basically just kind of focused on the Seaside course.
I did, because that's going to be three of the four, including the two on the weekend. But it is in Sea Island, Georgia. Home game for a lot of PGA Tour players, by the way, that live in this area. The Brian Harman, JT Poston, Harris Inglis, Zach Johnson, Matt Kuchar, Keith Mitchell, Andrew Novak, Davis Thompson. Most of those guys, by the way, in this field this week. So, yeah, looked mainly at the Seaside course, which is the par 70, because the Plantation course is actually a par 72. So if you're looking, wondering like, hey, we get some weird scoring here, it's because one of the rounds is a par 72, but both very short courses, barely over 7,000 yards.
Yeah, it is interesting here, Kelly, as we look at these courses. I mean, you know, the Seaside course, obviously, there's wind, so that could be the big thing. There is some water on these courses, but huge fairways. Really, the only penalty here is if you hit it in the water, because the rough this time of year, the Bermuda's dormant. And so it's like it's going to be basically ryegrass that there's out there. That's not going to affect these dudes really at all. So with it being as short as it is, Don't have to pull driver out if you don't want to.
Yep. Yeah, it's I would say, look, I mean, look, we talk about this a few times a year when we have multiple courses to break down for an event. There is, like Wes said, there's one we're going to see three rounds of. So if you're really planning on making your guys making the cut, you want to focus in there. But you nailed it, Matt. I mean, really, the one big difference is just one's literally seaside, the other one not so much. Otherwise, there's a lot of similarities, right? It is the wide fairways. It is big greens. A lot of that's still the same, and it's going to be a – Yeah, driver not going to come into play a whole lot here, but this is going to be hit it accurate, find fairways, and then put it approach, good approach play, and put it close to the pin as you can on these big greens.
Yeah, so it'll, you know, cut line will be low, 4, 5, 6 under, something like that, most likely with all of this. And so, you know, got to go out and score there on the plantation course for sure, getting the 4 par 5s as opposed to just the 2 over there on the seaside course. Wes, as you went in, as we do a lot of times, I'm sure we are all going to, a lot of times we do have different models. I imagine our models are going to look very, very similar this week, given the courses that we're putting together. What stats did you emphasize?
Yeah. And one thing before I want to add to that, just briefly on the weather here, because the seaside especially is exposed to wind, the plantation a little bit, even though that's a little bit more tree lined than the seaside, certainly here at Sea Island, but you do get scoring variance here. Because of the weather, like you look last year, Matt McNeely won his first PGA Tour event here. He was 16 under. Ludwig Aubert the year before, 29 under par at this event when there was no wind. The wind looks pretty benign, about 6 to 8 miles an hour on average. So still have some wind, but not exactly gusty. Temperature is going to be 80s. We would love to have that out here, or very high 70s, but you do get scoring variance because of the weather. So definitely keep that in mind a little bit. And then some trends, you know, just before I get into the stat analysis, 11 of the last 13 here, 33 or younger, 10 of the last 13, by the way, were first time PGA Tour winners. And then the last 5 years, and I'll credit Pat Mayo, actually put this out on X today, 5 of the last 5 played in 3 fall events before their wins. So you want guys that have been at least a little bit active, I think, throughout the fall, that have been playing some of these events, whether they're here, whether overseas, but somebody that's been, at least been playing and not been on the shelf for basically 3 months. But from a stat standpoint, I went with approach, even though these are pretty big greens, but you do potentially get some wind. So you got to be a little sharp with the irons. Proximity, anywhere 100 to 175, and that's wide ranging, but those are your wedge buckets. So I think you want to look at that at least a little bit. In terms of off the tee, you can club down, like you mentioned, Matt, where you don't have to take driver off the tee all that frequently because it's barely over 7,000 yards. So, you know, you could maybe look strokes gained off the tee, shorter courses. A lot of time they put less than 7,200 yards or right at 7,000 yards. So guys that, you know, are very good here because the accuracy, because the fairways are wide, are a little bit higher here than it is at the normal PGA Tour course. So I went strokes gained off the tee on short courses. Birdie or better, you're without a lot of wind this year, you're probably going to get a winning score that's around 20 under, at least a little bit better. I don't think you're going to get in the teens like you did last year when McNeely won, where the wind really blew here heavily. So birdie or better. Par 4, 400 to 450. 10 of the 12 on the seaside course measure in that exact quadrant of 400 to 450. So I thought that that was good to look at. Also, strokes gained putting Bermuda. This could be a putting contest at the end where there's a lot of low scoring. So I think you want to look at some of those good Bermuda putters. And then just general total strokes gained on short courses. You know, guys that are good on these type of, you know, like Harbor Town, I think is a good example, especially for that plantation course. And then some of the other course correlations I looked at, Wailea at the Sony Open in Hawaii, which has a really good correlation here where guys that have won here have also won there. And then I think you want to look at, you know, the coastal ones, the Port Royal, El Chameleon, where they used to play the Mayakoba. You could look a little bit last week at Bermuda. You know, those courses that are by a lot of water, but all those like 7,000 to 7,200 yard courses, I think have some correlations here.
Kelly, you pulled up the odds board here. Everyone can see as they take a look here, not a star studded field. Not, I mean, there are some names that we recognize, obviously dudes that we have bet a ton, but not the biggest of big names for this season ending tournament here. As we would expect, most of those guys have packed it up for the year, but Speaking of one of those dudes, I was actually out at my course yesterday watching Harry Hall do a range session. And yeah, that guy is going to be, Harry Hall is the guy I'm going to be watching next year. He was talking about some stuff that he was going to be working on heading into this year. And it just, those guys talk on a different level of the stuff that they're trying to do for sure.
I could just picture you pretending to hit shots and not overhearing what that conversation is like.
No, no. So I just did the nerd thing because I'm like, I'm standing there and then like whatever. And so finally I just walk over and I'm like, hey, do you care if I just like watch you hit balls for like 15 minutes?
Oh, that's cool.
He's like, no, I don't care. He's like, no, I don't, you know, I don't care or whatever. So yeah, I just was like sitting there. It's just, it's unbelievable. You know, like he's got his own personal like track man down there and his, you know, whatever. And so he's like, he's talking about his spin rates and his whatever and how he's trying to get his spin rate to this and he's trying to whatever and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is just amazing. It's hey, unreal. Man, but
without looking up the actual numbers, we're talking about one of the best punters in the world and on the PGA Tour, at least this past season. He had some great finishes down the stretch. I know I bet on him a ton. So the rest of this game comes around, some of those numbers that he gets work on, Matt. Yeah, I'm with you. He can be a guy I'm right back on early next season.
So we're there. Harris English, Siwoo Kim, Rico the Hoey, now taking the official spot for the top amount of guys that I've lost amount of money on betting golf officially now for Rico Hoey. Thor Bjornsson, Harman, Olesen, McCarthy, Poston, Whaley, you know, all these Berger, Kirk, all these guys are in these kind of middling tournaments.
Yeah, is Rico Hoey the official captain of Team No Putt now? He might be. He might have launched into that position. I mean, just everything off the tee and approach is so nice, and he just cannot make a putt.
He is my Cam Young to Wes. Like even when he finally wins, I'll still be dead. I'll still be down on him. Like it's like there's no chance to get unburied on Rico Hoey. Yeah, like it's just it's unreal. Like Rico Hoey like gets right there and just can never. Never well, get it done.
I don't want to pile on the misery anymore for our last tournament, but Wes and I were talking the other day. I would like to think Wes and I have done a lot of these fall, especially the fall podcasts over the past few years. We usually pick off one or two winners in the fall, and it feels nice coming away with a little money. I think we've all drawn dead so far, right, fellas? So we're getting one to the finish line this week. We got to get one.
Well,
to the finish line.
It'll be pretty good because I took the spray and pray. So it'll be good because I took the spray and pray technique this week. So like I'm gonna have a better chance than I normally do, that's for sure.
Been some close ones though.
Kelly, as far as stats, what did you y'all had some top fives and whatnot.
Yeah, like Vince, like Whaley last week T3 at that windy Bermuda event, which was won by the way by Adam Shank. An Indiana boy. How about that? You know, you're dead in terms of your tour card. It's like you're not for the second year in a row. I think it was Campos the year before, and Adam Shank was well outside the top 100. Gets that win, holds on by one at Bermuda. Our Vincent's Indiana boy, the 812. He shouted out the area code there, and now on the PGA Tour, and now exempt for about damn near everything. So. That's what you get in the fall. These are a little bit more crapshoot events in terms of, you know, where you're not playing, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks in a row where you don't have the form. The form can be a little bit more erratic.
Yep. Just a reminder, Wes's Twitter handle.
It went through the full on yips.
I'm sorry.
Like, it was able to get through the full yips, like, you know, the putting yips.
Sure. I just wanted to say real quick, Matt, at Wes Reynolds 1, contact him on Twitter. As I'm seeing Wes for, I think, like the 9th time this fall, I'm getting a little concerned that this Indiana run's going to continue so long. He's going to run out of Hoosiers clothing. So contact Wes on Twitter. Buy him. The holidays are just around the corner, okay? He didn't think this Indiana high was going to last this long. Buy him something nice for the holidays, okay? And ship it out to Vegas. A nice sweater, I think he probably needs.
Well, you know, some of these companies got to start putting out good gear.
Yeah, I mean, Wes, I'm watching Indiana. The only reason I even care about Indiana football is because of you. I mean, I don't care. I literally could not possibly care less, but because of you, it's the only reason I care.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think I lagged there. But yeah, some of these companies, man, they just keep putting out new and new gear, and I keep having to buy it. You know, I'm like, stop putting out all this stuff. You know, I keep having to buy it for these. But so probably not anytime soon running out of gear. I just, in fact, got a shirt in the mail that had the IU logo and it says football school. That's what it says on the T-shirt. So we are, like, in fact, it. A football school now.
All right, Kelly, unless there's something drastically different that you threw in your model, we can probably go ahead and get started on the plays we landed on. Yeah. And kind of explain why. Because, I mean, we're probably pretty much just on an approach and accuracy and scoring model basically across the board, right?
Very, very much so. I think the only other one I'll add and shout out to Rick Gaiman, because I saw him bring this up and then I was going through his site and tracking this down a little bit more. Par five scoring, a little bit more important here than you'd typically think, especially only with two on the seaside course. But hey, we've brought it up before. I like to factor it into a lot of turns. It's just, you got to score on the scorable holes, and especially with the pace that I think we're expecting this week. I did factor that in more than I have in years past. So that was what I wanted to bring up. But yeah, I've got two that do not follow Wes's trends at all that he brought up earlier as far as guys that are playing this or have been playing this fall. I will start with the one guy who has been, and I've bet him a couple times. Mac Meisner, will go back to the well one more time with him. 66-1, you'll find out there. He's gained almost every stat category in the four events he's played in this fall. Just the putter has fallen off a couple times. He's top 10 in the field in kind of those proximity ranges that Wes mentioned, those short iron wedge ranges. So, the putter's better for him on Bermuda. So I'm going to go back to him one more time. Mac Meisner 66-1. And then two guys that have they've had layoffs. One was mainly a number play at MGM yesterday. Daniel Berger was 45-1. Berger was, I'm always a fan of Daniel Berger. Great ball striker. He had major putter issues down the stretch in the summer, had to withdraw from the playoff event. I'm interested to see with the time off, whether it's mechanics, whether it's health, whatever. He's had plenty of time to get stuff straight. Obviously, he wants to see what he looks like in a tournament here before things kick back up again in January. It was more of a number play than anything. 45-1 was pretty off market for me. I've seen him kind of 30, 35-1 most places. With the quality of players in this event, in the 40s was too much for me to pass on Berger. So I am playing him. And then the last one and the shortest one, Chris Kirk, 35-1. I was playing him a bunch down the stretch last year. Was able to cast some good top 20s, top 10s on him heading down to the final stretch of the PGA Tour season. Yeah, I hadn't played since early August, and the St. Jude was his last event. But man, the top 10 approach guy, the putter was really good at the end of the season, better than what we expect to see from him usually. I'm just hoping that somehow is carried through the fall and he can bring it to a spot that he has played many times before. So for me, Chris Kirk, Daniel Berger, Mac Meisner is the entire card, unless you fellas talk me into one or two.
Well, I mean, with it being the last tournament of the year, I'm going to make you add to the card. Okay. Like, there's no way you're getting out of here.
Talk me into it, bro.
Yeah, no way you're getting out of here with just three plays. I mean, I can also say
only saying that because you just did the whole I sprayed the board. Like, I bet way too many, so I'm going to make you pay too many.
We share one in Chris Kirk. I have Kirk in there as well. Really good comp course stuff for him, which kind of led me towards him. Like, you kind of, I put together a model that had absolutely no statistics. It was nothing but comp course stuff. So I put in many of the ones that Wes mentioned, added in like Port Royal and El Camaleon and whatever and all that. It's six different courses. And Chris Kirk has played all of them and played all of them fairly well. And so was enough for me to throw him under the card. So we do share that one. Wes, as you put the card together, where did you land?
I'm going to go a guy that was almost good to me last week. He ends up finishing T3, but he's in really good form, and he's locked up his tour card. He's in that top 100, so now he's just got to try to get that first win. That's Vince Whaley at 40-1. He's made 18 straight cuts and then has now a second top three in his last five starts with the performance at Bermuda last week. Resides in Atlanta, so, you know, not exactly a total local here like a lot of the other guys that live like right on the course, but 13th and 8th here the last 2 years at the RSM Classic. So Vince Whaley 40-1, and then another guy that's been playing pretty solid golf really all year long and not just on the PGA Tour, Pearson Coody, who you can get somewhere 45-50-1-ish. He already has his card next season because he got his card off the Korn Ferry money list. 7 top 10s, by the way, this year on the Corn Ferry. Also 2/3 on the PGA Tour, the 3M, the Bank of Utah. 110 in the FedEx Cup, you get in that top 100. And if you're, you know, top 5, he's basically going to do that. And that would lock up a full card. So Pearson Coody. And then another guy that's been playing very well and actually locked up his PGA Tour card last week, Max McGreevy at 50-1, also was T3 in Bermuda. I think that takes the pressure off. And now it's just like, hey, let's try to win. Let's finish the season wrong. And he actually did win exactly 1 year ago this week in Japan at the Dunlop Phoenix, where he is not defending his title, beat Matsuyama, beat Bhatia, Pendriff, and a lot of good Japanese players also in that field. So won 3 times in 2024, has not yet won in his rookie season, but he's been in the top 12 in 3 of his last 4. So Max McGreevy, 50-1. And then Eric Cole, 60-1, third here in 2023, 15th last year, 2 top 10s in his last 4 events, 78th in the FedEx Cup right now. And Wailai, what I mentioned earlier, Sony Open in Hawaii, always a good indicator for success. And Matt, you mentioned Chris Kirk, who I believe is one out there, at least finished runner-up. Eric Cole, 5th and 13th there last 2 years. So I think there's some crossover here. And then 3 more. And one guy who's kind of fallen off a little bit of the radar this year, because I think he only has 1 top 10 finish, considering he was top 30 in the world about 3 years ago, and now he's got to have a good finale to keep his card. He's 129 in the FedEx Cup, and that's Seamus Power at 65-1. Good progressive form, 27th in Mexico, 11th in Bermuda, 2 top 5s here in 2021, 2022. Very good on shorter, like, coastal-type designs, not only here, but 1 in Bermuda a couple years ago, 3rd at Wailai, 3rd at El Camaleon, 5th and 7th at the Corrales Punta Cana. So I think he fits the profile here. And then I do share one with Kelly as well. It was not Kirk, who I did consider strongly here, but it's Mac Meisner, 66-1. Runner-up at the Wyndham, locked into the top 100 for next year due to that runner-up in the Wyndham. And he stayed active enough. He hasn't played in about, I think, 3 or 4 weeks, but he has played 4 times, made all 4 cuts. Better putter on Bermuda as well, historically. So Mac Meisner, 66-1. And then Wolf cap it off, Lee Hodges, 105-1. 5th in last year's RSM. He is 122, so he's in those conditional spots, 101 to 125. On all the wedge proximity buckets, he was up there very high. So I think he's going to have a lot of birdie opportunities. But Lee Hodges, kind of my triple-digit bomb this week, just over triple digits at 105-1.
Oh, I got me a super bomb a little bit later here. We're gonna get into. So,
man, when the hell will I share one with Lee you? Hodges? I feel like we bet him a lot. I guess it was early last year, because otherwise the results were not too great.
So I shared the Kirk with Kelly. I share Eric Cole with Wes. 23rd overall in my model would probably be much, much higher if it weren't for me putting in as much emphasis on good drive percentage as I did. That being said, like we mentioned, there is an option for him to not even have to pull driver this week. And so I imagine this is going to be the highest percentage of mini driver play on the tour that we've seen in a very long time, because it's a fall swing tournament anyway, so you can kind of get away with playing something that you might not play on the regular tour and, like, just see if people want to carry them and stuff. I bet you we see many drivers, like, left and right out there. And so maybe we can get that, something hot going on there. And if he can avoid hitting it in the water, I do really like where he is in a bunch of the other categories we're in. So Eric Cole, I share him as well. So my shortest shot that I don't share with you guys is Alex Smalley. I seem to end up always on Alex Smalley. I don't know why, but here, kind of one of those deals where he drives it pretty straight. He's, you put in the opportunities gain stuff where you either go into, like, opportunities or even opportunities plus, which is 15 feet or in or 10 feet or in. He's inside kind of the upper third of the field there in that. You go and you start to, like, parse in a little bit more on Alex Smalley, and you see, like, oh, okay, well, pretty good on some of these approach numbers I put in, pretty good on the birdie or better percentage stuff that I put in. He's higher than I think that, maybe the number suggests. So I do have Alex Smalley in there. 40-1 is, I'm going to give you like you guys the best numbers that you can widely get out there, because I know everyone doesn't have access to some of the books that we do. So you can find a 40-1 out there at the major books on Alex Smalley right now. My next shot here, Austin Eckroat, 19th overall in my model. Doesn't really excel in any category, but is very just solid across the board. And at 80-1 available out there, it was just way, way, way too much of a discrepancy for where he was in the model to the price that is attached to Eckroat. We've seen some success on some of these windy courses, some of these shorter courses, some of that type of stuff. Hopefully that can translate for him here. Again, nothing to really point at is like, oh, he's awesome here, but he's just good at everything that I put in. And so I thought the number way too long there on Eckroat. And then the same could be said for Mark Hubbard. This is like the greatest hits of dudes I've played a bunch that have never won me anything.
Yeah,
it's like I'm playing my greatest hits here. Kirk, Smalley, Cole, Eckroat, sure. and Hubbard. Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, good on that. So same deal.
We were on Eric Cole really early back in the day, though. This pod was Eric Cole real early. I don't really know how much that's paid off for us over the years, but we were on him really early, okay?
So Hubbard, weirdly enough, you know, if you guys do your own modeling out there, if you've even seen whenever we've put our models on the deal, like we kind of talk about like green across the board type of stuff. And, you know, as it, the better it is, the darker green it gets, the worse it gets. It starts to turn pink and then to red or something like that. Weirdly enough, Mark Hubbard is 100-1 out there in the market right now. And he's green across the board for all of the stats that I put in for Mark Hubbard. So that was just way, way, way too much of a discrepancy here for me, for him. Again, he gives himself opportunities. You put go to that stuff where it's like the 15, 10-foot putts. Now, whether he makes them or not, we'll see. But it was too much for me to pass up to get that fat of a number on him.
Great putter.
With the fact that he's given himself so many chances.
Yeah. You can usually always rely on his putter.
And then finally, so I went 3 young bucks to round out the card. So I fired, like I said, 8 shots this week. 8 bullets, 3 young bucks. They're all 24 years or younger. Michael Brennan, John Kiefer, and Brendan Valdez. They all modeled pretty highly for me. They all excelled in at least some of the categories that I was looking at. Now, not great in some of the others, but they're young. There's a small sample size here for these dudes. They've shown success on some of the other tours out there and all of that. And so, you know, Kiefer, very, very good. Kiefer was very, very good whenever I was looking at some of this opportunity stuff. There's some of the short course stuff that plays out for Valdez. Some of the stuff plays out for Brennan as well. So Brennan, that being said, is not very long. He's at 55-1. Kiefer's way out at 80-1. And then Brennan Valdez is actually 350-1 if you just want an absolute lottery ticket on someone. But they all modeled out, like I said, if you go in and sort the categories and just say like, okay, who is at least good on short courses, or who is at least good at giving themselves 15-foot looks, and like, you know, whether they convert them or not, whatever, but let's take a look. Like Michael Brennan is number one in the model as far as opportunities look. And again, like you're getting the 15 footers, whether he makes them or not, different story, but he's at least given himself those opportunities. Brendan Valdez is actually 5th whenever you look at that as well. Now, he doesn't putt all that great, but he's getting a bunch of 15-foot looks. Maybe he can run hot. 350-1, we can maybe monetize that ticket. And Kiefer's just actually been a pretty good overall player in a bunch of different categories out there. So three of the young bucks to go along with 5 of my lovable losers this week. So I am on Kirk, Smalley, Cole, Eckroat, Hubbard, and then Brennan, Kiefer, and Valdez to round out the card.
John Kiefer, like, you probably wouldn't know it. John Kiefer, by the way, is in the top 50 in the world rankings right now. He is currently number 50 because he's won a couple times already on the Korn Ferry Tour. I actually backed him in Utah, didn't end up contending, but this guy is a pretty prolific winner as a young guy. So there's a reason why he's top 50 in the world, even though he hadn't done anything on the PGA Tour yet, but probably going to do something in relatively short order.
Yeah, third overall in the model in birdie or better percentage. And if we think that this could turn into a scoring contest, and he's at least third in this field in birdie or better percentage. Like you said, Wes, hadn't had much PGA Tour success, but maybe this could be the chance for him to put
some
of that.
And I think that's going to matter this week, too, because he's got to be, if he's inside the top 50 as of December 31st of here of 2025, that gets him invited to the Masters. So top 50 in the world rankings at the end of the year, I believe you still get that Masters invite.
So as we always do, guys, these will be up over at VSiN.com. If you are a pro subscriber, you can go in, you can see everything we got going on over at the picks page. I was about to say a promo that I don't think is available anymore, so I'm not going to talk about that one. I never know when they run out. Like, I don't know when the promos run out. I was going to be like, you can do this, but I don't know.
At least you played it off really smooth. It's okay.
Yeah.
Just go to VSiN.com, check out everything we're doing. Okay. And,
there will be a promo. I just don't know which exactly the promo is today. So,
Yeah, you're okay. Yeah. You're forgiven. Get the sounder ready, all right? I'm joining the fam. We got a pod play. Eric Cole, fire it up. Let's go.
Oh!
All three of us. I'll add that one. I'll
one
add
last
that one.
Time.
Let's make Here it a pod go. Play. Yeah, one last time for the season. There we go. That's the
there
way
we
do
go.
It.
Let's do it. Let's get a pod play.
Eric Cole,
here.
Leave driver in the bag, though, for me, okay? That's been a problem for a while. Just
get
leave
that
it
mini
home.
Driver ready, buddy. Yeah. Get that mini driver ready, and let's... let's rock and roll with that. Guys, we really do appreciate you being with us here over the course of this season. Again, we'll be back in January. Just a small little break here as we recharge the old batteries, and hopefully you do the same. Hopefully you made some money this season as well, and we'll be looking to improve. I mean, there's always reflection, which is why it's a great time for the season to end for me, because it gives me a month and a half, 2 months to go in and see if there was a leak in stuff that I was doing this year as well. So, hopefully we're coming back stronger than ever with all of this. And Kelly, Wes, you guys, awesome to do this with y'all. Super, super sharp golf bettors, and great to be able to meet here on a weekly basis and talk through all of this stuff for the people out there. If you haven't done so already, guys, it really is. I know we ask this all the time. It's the last pot of the year. Go right now, hit the little thing, go in and hit the subscribe button. If you're just finding it, whatever, go ahead, hit the subscribe button. If you want to rate us and review us, that also helps. As well, trust me, the bosses care about this. So we would like you to, go in and
write a handwritten letter if you'd like. You could do that as well. Just send it to Circa, addresses the VSiN offices. Yep, that's fine too.
Singing telegram, we accept all compliments. Yeah.
Send stuff to the office as well. So for Wes, the final time of 2025, for Wes, for Kelly, I am Matt. Good luck on all your RSM bets.